Merry Christmas, Emmaus. Merry Christmas. You may be seated. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. It's good to have our kids in here. Here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're going to make a little deal. For the next few minutes, you have to forget about shopping. Hopefully that's done by now. You got to forget about wrapping presents. You got to forget about baking cookies or buying cookies. You got to forget about all that stuff for the next few minutes, but because we're going to take the next little bit to pause and to call what's probably for most of us a much-needed time out, and to be reminded of why we even celebrate this season in the first place, because we live in a culture where it's very easy to forget that, because we're surrounded by a lot of good things, but tonight we come face-to-face with the best thing, which is Jesus Christ. And so for the next few minutes, let's just pause. Let me pray. I'm not going to take long, I promise you. And so some of you call Emmaus home, and you brought family here. Some of you are visiting with us. Now, I'm thrilled that you are. And just so you know, we're not going to take a whole lot of time tonight, but we are going to take a few minutes to pause and to really hone in on who Jesus is. So let me pray for us. Jesus, King Jesus, Lord Jesus, our great God and Savior, Jesus, our hero, our champion, Jesus, the treasure of our hearts, Jesus Christ, we love you. And Lord, tonight I speak on behalf of Christians. I speak on behalf of those who worship you, Lord. I understand that there are most likely people in this room who don't even come close to professing that they know you or follow you or worship you or even maybe believe in you, but they're here, and I'm grateful for that, Lord. And I pray that tonight you would reveal yourself to them in a very unique way, in a very powerful way, in a very even obtrusive way, if need be, Lord, that you would make your love for them obvious to them tonight. But Lord, I speak on behalf of every Christian in here, every worshiper of Jesus in here, when I say, Lord, that we love you. We love you. We adore you. We long to know you more. We confess to you that we are flawed and we are weak. And just as Lord Jesus, your half-brother James said in James chapter 3, when he said, we all stumble in many ways, we agree with him. We stumble in many ways, Lord. Every single day of our lives, we are reminded of our need for Jesus, for you, Lord. And so tonight, as we are reminded of who you are and of all you've done for us, Lord, would you speak to us in a fresh way? We need you. Remind us of what this is all about, this thing called Christmas. I'm grateful for every soul that's here. I'm grateful for our kids being in here with us, Lord. We love you. We pray it all through Christ. Amen. Well, I'm like many of you. Because what we do every Christmas, just like many of you in here, is we like spending time with our family. And just like some of you are in here, and maybe you've driven here, you've flown here to spend time with family and your kind of extended family, we do the same thing. So every year, my parents and Heather's parents, they live in Macon in Central Georgia. And so every year, we go down there and we spend time with our extended family. We do Christmas with our extended family. And so it was my family this past Friday. We went down just for the day, and we opened presents, and we hung out with my side of the family, and then we'll do the same thing later on this week with my wife's side of the family. But it was funny because this past Friday, so we go and we spend time with my side of the family, my extended family, and we had gone and given my nephew a present, and the present we got for my nephew is something called a Perplexus. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's kind of a new thing. Any of you heard of Perplexus before? Anybody at all? No? You guys got to get with it, man. Perplexus, they're awesome. Apparently, it's the hot thing this year. So a Perplexus is the best way to describe it. It's really hard to describe. A Perplexus is basically, imagine a clear globe, a see-through globe about yay big, and inside of the globe, there's a silver ball, And the object of it, there's all these different sort of tracks and loops and different things inside of it. And the object of the perplexus is to keep this silver ball on the tracks using your hand-eye coordination. It's kind of like the Rubik's Cube of our generation, right? So it's sort of like a 3D, 4D labyrinth kind of deal. And you're trying to keep the silver ball on the tracks, turning this globe, hoping it doesn't fall down. And you're trying to do it from start to finish. Now, the problem with it is that it's basically impossible. And I know this because after my nephew opened the present, I immediately took it from him so I could start playing it. Okay? And I played it for about an hour until I got so frustrated it was either put the thing down or throw it against the wall and break my nephew's toy. Right? But because it's frustrating, I mean, here's the thing. It's a brilliant toy if your object is to keep your kid quiet and occupied for 3 hours. It's a really, really bad toy if the object is to have a high self-esteem, right? I mean, it's just bad. Okay, so here's the thing. Apparently, and I was watching one of the news channels the other day, and they were talking about the perplexus, and they were talking about the fact that this perplexus, this strange little labyrinth type deal, is basically, it's one of the hottest gifts this Christmas. I mean, it's a big deal. But the reality is, as big of a deal as the perplexus is this year, the reality is next year it won't be that big of a deal. Like next year, there'll be another big hot ticket item. Next year, there'll be another must-have gift. I mean, here's the thing. The gifts that are so popular today, have you noticed the gifts that are so popular today will be really unpopular before long? Not a whole lot of people buying Teddy Ruxpin dolls anymore, right? Some of you are going, what's a Teddy Ruxpin? Exactly. Not a whole lot of people getting excited about Beanie Babies anymore, right? That the gifts that are so popular today eventually will be unpopular tomorrow. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning, just like a lot of you, tomorrow morning I'm going to sit down in my living room, I'm going to open up some presents from my family, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to enjoy opening up gifts, because who doesn't enjoy opening up gifts? So that's going to be fun for me. But here's the reality. As I'm opening up those gifts, I'm going to have to remind myself that no matter what that gift is, eventually that thing's going to lose its luster, right? Eventually, whatever that gift is that I open tomorrow for my family, eventually it's either going to break, or it's going to tear, or it's going to rip, or it's going to fray, or it's going to go out of style. Inevitably. Okay, so here's the point, Emmaus. The reason that we're here tonight on Christmas Eve is to intentionally pause and to remind ourselves that as great as Christmas presents are, the point of Christmas really isn't primarily about presents, but rather Christmas is a moment for us to be reminded of this. Luke chapter 2, listen. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. I mean, just imagine what that may have been like. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now, let me be absolutely clear. That right there is the most important thing that has ever happened to you. Okay? I mean, get this. That, and this is not overstating this. That event that we just read about is the most important thing that has ever happened to any one of us in this room. Any of us. Okay, so as good as the day you got married was, this is better. As good as that day was when you gave birth to your first child, this right here is better. Listen to me, folks. The fact that Jesus Christ was born into this world on a mission to rescue you from your sin and to rescue you from death and to rescue you from hell is more important than anything else under the sun, by far. And this is what we celebrate in here tonight. Okay, and here's the thing. The angel of the Lord describes this in three ways. Look at this. If you have a Bible and you can't even see, so let's put it back on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel of the Lord describes this magnificent event in three specific ways. Listen to what he says in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So just listen to how the angel of the Lord describes this magnificent event. First of all, the angel of the Lord says that this event, this moment when the second person of the Trinity becomes flesh, God becomes flesh, that event, according to the angel of the Lord, is first of all, good news. It's good news. Can y'all say good news? One more time, can y'all say good news? Say good news like it's good news. Say good news. This is good news. It's good. It's really, really good news that Jesus was born, that Jesus lived the perfect life on my behalf, that Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed, that Jesus allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, that Jesus allowed himself to die, that Jesus came out of that tomb alive, that Jesus ascended into heaven to the right hand of the throne of God, and that Jesus promised, "I'm coming back." That's good news. That is really, really good news. I mean, it's honestly just like the song said, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's good news. I mean, this Christmas, may we stagger at how good this news is. May we truly pause and reflect on how unbelievable and amazing and good and fresh and rich the good news of the gospel actually is. So the angel of the Lord says, I bring you good news. And then he describes this event a second way. He says it's good news. The second thing he says is, this event, according to the angel of the Lord, should give us great joy. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Christmas time, what Christmas means should cause us to have great joy, particularly those of us who are Christians, particularly those of us who love Jesus, who worship Jesus. We should be filled with joy because of what Christmas means. See, here's the truth, man. I don't know what gifts you may be receiving for Christmas. I don't know, but I can guarantee you this, no matter what kind of gift you may open this Christmas, it will not give your soul joy. It can't deliver. No matter, I don't care how shiny it is, how flashy it is, how expensive it is, how rare it is, it will never deliver joy to your soul. Now, it will probably make you happy for a little while, but no matter what you open this Christmas, it will not give your soul joy, because you know what? Joy comes from contentment. Joy doesn't come from what happens outside of you. Joy comes from something much deeper than that. Joy comes from contentment. See, joy comes from this. Joy comes from knowing no matter what may happen to you in this life, you can rest assured that you are loved and accepted by a holy God, all because of what Jesus did for you. And that's where joy arises from. It's from going to bed at night tonight and going, I don't care what I get tomorrow, Jesus is good. See, by the way, here's how you can know whether or not you're experiencing this kind of joy that the shepherds are talking about. Here's how you can know. You can know it because if you don't receive that thing that you hope you receive this year for Christmas, even if you don't receive it, you can still smile because you know that you have Jesus and he supplies everything you need. And that's the evidence that you're experiencing the kind of joy the shepherds are talking about. So it's good news, and it's good news that should give us great joy. And then according to the shepherds here, thirdly, get this. Listen to what they say again. I'm going to read this to you. He says, and the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. How many of the people? One more time. How many of the people? All the people. This is for all people. Think about that, amazing. The gospel is for all people. All people. In other words, here's what that means. Jesus is a gift that anyone can receive. Anybody. Absolutely anybody. Men, women, children, black, white, Democrat, Republican, poor folk, rich folk. Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons at all. One of my favorite verses of scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, you know what it says? It says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love how Jesus says it. Whosoever will may come. Aren't you glad that the gospel is for all people? Doesn't that make you happy? Doesn't that give you joy? Because here's what that means. What that means that the gospel is for all people, what it means is this, it means it's for you too. Let's just be honest. There's not a single one of us in this room who deserve the shed blood of Jesus Christ on a cross for us. It is by grace that any of us are saved. So remember, here's my heart for you. Emmaus Church, those of you who call Emmaus home as your pastor, here's my heart for you. Those of you who were in from out of town visiting family and you're visiting here with us, I know I don't know you, but here's my heart for you. Trust me, this is my heart for you too. My heart for you is this, that this Christmas you will remember this. Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. Now, when you read the scriptures, you find that Jesus said a lot of amazing things during his 3.5 years of ministry on this earth. A lot of amazing things. One of my favorite things that Jesus said was this. Listen to this. According to John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus once stood in front of a big crowd of people and he declared this about himself. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a bold promise that is. What a magnificent promise this is. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, so for 2,000 years now, this good news of great joy for all people has been carried around the planet by God's people. So think about this. For 2,000 years now, this amazing news about Jesus has been carried around the planet by God's people through church planting, through evangelistic crusades, through missionary efforts, and somehow, some way, it reached you too. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, I don't know what I do with my candle. We got 200 candles floating around this place. I don't have one. Thank you, Ben. Merry Christmas. Good. No, fire, huh? Better put this over here. Thank you. Oh, let's try this again. All right. Oh. Glad we don't shoot for theatric excellence here. Okay, here we go. For 2,000 years, the message of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has been carried across the planet in lots of different ways. And tonight we pause to reflect on Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and we pause to reflect on the goodness of God in allowing this good news about the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our great God and glorious Savior. God's grace he's shown to us by allowing that good news to reach us and to reach our hearts, and particularly those, I'm talking to those of you who worship Jesus and you love Jesus and you know Jesus and you have a relationship with Jesus, because the reality is that there are some of you in here tonight, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, which means you've never in your life confessed the fact that you are indeed a sinner. You don't deserve God's love or God's mercy or God's favor. As a matter of fact, according to the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, it says you are by nature an object of wrath, which means the only thing you deserve is really hell forever because of your sins. But God, because he's rich in love and rich in mercy, sent his son Jesus to this world to live the perfect life on your behalf, to die on a cross, to rise again, to pay the penalty for your sins, so that if you place your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your God and your Savior, then you will be saved. And for those of us who share in that glorious truth that we are followers of Jesus, we are worshipers of Jesus, we can lay our heads on a pillow tonight and rest assured that we are loved and accepted by God all because of Jesus. Tonight, we celebrate the meaning of Christmas. It is not about the presents you get. It is not about how nice your house is decorated. It is not about getting that flashy new toy or that new shirt or those tube socks. That it's about Jesus. And so as we take some time to sing some songs to the Lord here, this light that began some 2,000 years ago, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, born into this world, it began one night a couple thousand years ago, and over the past 2,000 years, it has spread to every nook and cranny on the planet. And so as this light spreads in just a few moments, be reminded of the grace of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your promise. You are the light of the world. Whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for your promise to return for your church. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the fact that tonight and tomorrow we intentionally get to pause and to reflect on who you are and what you've done and how good you are. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that when I'm 9 years old, growing up in a single parent home in Warner Robins, Georgia, that somehow, some way, somebody took me to church. Somebody I wasn't even related to, didn't even know for a long time, took me to church. And I heard the good news about Jesus, and you saved me. Little 9-year-old kid, you saved me, that the gospel reached my heart, transformed my little heart, gave me new life, the promise of eternity, and a reason to live. We love you, Lord. We worship you tonight. We pray it all through Christ. Amen.